Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
Good morning, everyone. Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Monday morning. This seems to be the weekly thing. How are you doing, y'all? Rainy here in Ottawa on a Monday morning. Day off. Pretty relaxed day overall. Hope you're enjoying the season, the holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. To those celebrating Hanukkah, happy Diwali, happy Kwanzaa, it's coming up, and a Merry Christmas to those who are celebrating that. I'm sure I am missing a celebration, my apologies, but this is a great season to be with loved ones, and to especially in the north, in Ottawa and in Canada in general, to cozy up. You know, to be with those that bring warmth to your heart. So I hope you're doing that. Now, what is not bringing warmth is unfortunately the Raptors' performances, record, season as a whole. This season has not been great for the team. It has not been great for fans. And I'm going to touch on a bunch of things in this episode. So hold on with me for the ride. I was thinking about doing video, and I know people have been saying this for like 2 years now. We're hoping to have Zaya and I, in visual and audio, hoping to get Courtney as well and see the dynamics of the team. And you know, it was a little bit to coordinate. Some folks were cool to the idea. Some were more warm to the idea. But I was thinking about it because I was watching, not that this is the standard, but I was watching Stephen A. Smith just by himself talk. And I know he's got a bigger production team around him. I certainly don't have any. But I was thinking about doing video. More because I know a lot of folks have really never seen, teammates on Jurassic Views. They haven't necessarily seen me. We have a lot of American listeners. They're probably not following Jurassic Views on Instagram. I'm not overly committed to social media. The odd time. I'll certainly share episodes on there for the small group of people who follow us on Instagram. Sometimes I'll share it on my own Instagram again, fairly small amount of people. But we have had thousands of people listen to the pod, and which we appreciate greatly. But I think more than just hear our voices, I think people will get a kick out of seeing our faces sometimes. So we'll see. We'll see if 2024 brings that. There's certainly a little more possibility now that we've got a little bit more lighting. We've got a little bit more of a kind of office set up in our house that I could use for those recordings. So who knows? But if I do go that route in some future pods, I will keep you posted. You will be updated. And it will always be on here. The audio will always get recorded. So no worries there. But we're going to go a whole bunch of different places on this pod because there's a lot to talk about, a lot to break down, a lot to remind us fans of where this team is at and where it's been at times. Certainly this is not championship level. I don't even know if it's playoff level. Certainly we didn't even make the playoff last year, and I thought our team was at a playoff level. Unfortunately, we blew the play-in against Chicago, which I was just listening to an old episode because I, you know, I don't get to see Zai as much. He's in Nigeria for work. And, you know, sometimes I like to just hear his voice and hear his laugh. And so the odd time I'll put on an episode, and I put one on from when we had talked to Katie Hendel the second time. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the fact that we never did kind of a summary of the season, or even a reaction pod to any extent, an analysis pod to any extent of that game. We basically just scrubbed it from his existence in our minds and beings, and wanted to really not get into it. So that's funny. But there have been things that have gone on in the last 3-4 seasons. There have been things that have gone on during the franchise that that are, you know, we could talk about, let's say. We could talk about. But one thing I want to do to start off the pod is, and this is not Raptors specific, but I'll get to it first because we have a lot to cover from a Raptors perspective. I wanted to do my power rankings, my team power rankings. I had done it about a month ago, might have been 5 weeks ago, back in November. And it's, you know, it's December 18th, and I thought I was due. I think I said I would do it before the in-season tournament, and before the finals, and I never did. And I wanted to be able to talk a little bit about that. So we'll start with honorable mention on the power rankings. NBA power rankings, I'm going to try and do them once a month. Certainly when we get closer to the playoffs, I'll probably do it a little more, more regularly. But for now, you know, for the first 4 months of the season, I'm sure just every month, no one needs to hear, you know, who I think should be, you know, 10th or 11th or anything like that in the team power rankings. But I wanted to get to this group of teams because my, oh my, have we had some fun in the NBA. We've had the in-season tournament come and go, and that was very exciting. I thought it was very successful. I said that in the last pod, I think, too, and obviously lots of people are, but listen, I'm not tied to the league in any kind of way outside of just from an interest point. I'm not getting paid. I am not an employee of anyone who is, you know, any media outlet that's connected. I don't write for this. This is all amateur hour for me. And, but I thought it was really successful. I thought it was really great. And my honorable mention team, speaking of the in-season tournament, is the Indiana Pacers. And the Indiana Pacers, before were in my top 10. I believe they were the 8th or 9th team in that one back in November. But I have the Indiana Pacers as my honorable mention, not because and dropping in this group, not because they're a bad team. I think the league is caught up to them a little bit with their defenses. For whatever reason, defenses came out a little bit slow to start the season. And let me tell you, if you haven't watched any Indiana Pacers basketball, they are red hot offensively, and they have been a really fun team to watch, and I think a surprise to this season. But they will get an honorable mention, not because they've lost 3 in a row, not because they've struggled at home, just 7-5. They are 13-11, so they were 13-8, but losing 3 in a row certainly puts them in the honorable mention, and they hold that honorable mention position versus some other teams that are around them, like the Cavs, the Nets, because they went to the finals of the first in-season tournament, and they played against the Los Angeles Lakers. It was a pretty good game. I mean, outside of the last kind of 4 or 5 minutes when Bron took over, it was a pretty competitive game. Half-court Halley, Tyrese Halliburton, was money in that game. And him and Miles Turner were great throughout the tournament, but really solid. And they had some great bench scoring. They've had one of the best benches in the league this year. And so I'd be remiss if I kept them off the list. So the Indiana Pacers are my honorable mention. And again, losing three does not help them in the power rankings. But and I think there's gaps, there's holes, there's inexperience to this team. But I think they're an important team to watch as the season continues. They might not make the playoffs. They might not even make the play-in. They might come get grounded, you know. But I think Rick Carlisle has done right by the players on their team, focusing on the strengths, trying to get the most out of guys, the most out of the team as a collective, and they've done well. We'll see if all these guys are back next year, but for right now, this is a very exciting team to watch, one of the most exciting teams to watch, and again, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they are such a great offensive team. And I don't know if anyone else is calling Tyrese Halliburton half-court Halley, but I said it in the quarterfinals. I use that phrase, that nickname. And I hope if nobody has used it to this point, that you use it. And I give permission to anyone who wants to use it. Although if ESPN hears about it and half-court Halley is used, I just want my name referenced. Stephen A., I know you got a couple extra bucks you could send my way, but I'll just reference me and the pod. And that would be all I need, to be honest. I don't need the cash, although I would say always take the money. And so would my in-laws, who are both accountants. but anyways, you heard it here first. Tyrese Halliburton, half-court Halley, just honorable mention for team power rankings right now. I'll tell you who my number 10 is, because this team has come out of nowhere. And this team got a lot of grief. And I could probably have them higher than I do, to be quite honest. I won't put them any higher than number 10 for right now for a bunch of reasons. And I'll get to that with number 9. But my number 10 is the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers, who have now won 7 straight games. The Los Angeles Clippers, who were the joke of the league just a month ago, they were the laughing stock of the league. They've won 7 in a row. They've won 8 of the last 10. They are actually 10-2 in their last 12. They have played some pretty damn good basketball. James Harden is not to where he was before he got the hamstring injury in Brooklyn, but he's pretty darn good. It helps when you have one of the best scorers coming off your bench. One of the best bench scorers in the league in Norm Powell. Love that guy. Good to see him playing at a high level. When you've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on your team, it makes life easier for James Harden. And even Russell Westbrook takes, some minutes off you, so you don't have to play, 30-plus minutes. You can hang around that 30-even mark. But the Los Angeles Clippers, folks, are for real. They will be a ton of fun, but a headache. A ton of fun for fans and a headache for other teams in so many ways, because they've got so much depth. And when you've got Ty Lue, who's a mastermind, and you've got 4 future Hall of Famers on your club who, none of them have reached 35 yet. And when you see LeBron playing the way he is at almost 39, Chris Paul still playing good basketball at 39, and other guys 35-plus, Kevin Durant turned 35 in September, Steph Curry is 35, turning 36 in March. the Clippers will be fine for this season as long as they are healthy. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. I'm not saying they're going to get to go conference finals. There's a lot of talent. But this team is good. They've figured it out after a very slow start. And they are my number 10 on the power rankings. And my guess is the next time we check in this power rankings, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, you are going to see this club even higher. They could have been easily the number 9 team. I did not put them there because of the team above them. And while their record, this number 9 team's record, is not as good as the Clippers, is worse than the Clippers' record, I put the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers, the nemesis to the Clippers, I put them in the 9 spot because they won the in-season tournament. And that says something. I'll tell you why. It says something because when it matters most to LeBron James's legacy, when it matters most to players' pockets before Christmas, this team can beat anyone in the league. Now, they might not be able to beat a team like the Nuggets in a 7-game series, but they can beat Phoenix on any given night. And might even be able to beat Phoenix right now, certainly with the health and inconsistencies of Phoenix. They got a long way to go. And I think they will be good. And I think they will be one of those four horsemen teams that I talked about at the start of the season. But the Los Angeles Lakers have been well put together, and they are finding their stride. And again, when it matters most, when the lights are brightest, LeBron James shines the brightest, does not shy away. AD had a good in-season tournament, was a beast throughout the in-season tournament. But they won 4 in a row. I think they beat everybody by double digits in the group stage, then knocked off Phoenix, not with relative ease. But they did beat Phoenix with some strength, with some clarity that this Lakers team is a top 8 team in the league, and they will be difficult in the playoffs. So they are my number 9. And congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers. And if they don't have enough trophies and banners, good for them. And anyone who wants to make fun of them, I know ESPN had a few guys making fun of them for celebrating, for thinking that it's a big deal. I don't know anybody else who won the tournament. I don't know anyone else who is even close to as good as LeBron James and company. And I don't know anybody else who just made $500,000 extra dollars for their family and friends around Christmas time, except for LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. So big shout out to them. I do not give flowers easy to the Lakers and LeBron James. And that's a lot to do with the Raptors' history with LeBron and some of the officiating that has happened. But no, they deserve to win it, and they deserve the respect. Number 8, and I'll try and go through these a little quicker after I've taken my time through the first 3. The Orlando Magic. And the Orlando Magic definitely benefited from a weaker schedule. And they were very strong. I would say they are probably the biggest surprise. Even though I had the Thunder and the Magic as my league pass teams, the Magic were probably the most surprising. I would say to some extent the Magic were more surprising than Indiana. Because in Indiana we at least saw flashes of this last year. And we knew with, more time together and having that experience that they'd be good. We did not see the Magic's bench. I talked about the Pacers bench. We did not see the Magic bench as the best in the league. We did not see that coming into this season. We thought this team could crack the play-in as people who analyze the game and make predictions, but we did not see this bench being as good as we did. And certainly Jalen Suggs, we did not predict he would be this good. So big shout out to the Magic. They have hit a bit of a speed bump. They were caught in residential streets trying, you know, trying to street race, and they hit some bumps, and you know, you have a lowered Civic with some NOS that's gonna you know, provide some damage to the bottom of your car. And that's what happened. They came back down a little bit to earth. They got slowed down. They did just get beat twice by the best team in the league, the Boston Celtics. No spoiler alert. Boston Celtics are the best team in the league. The Magic are 6-4 in their last 10, which is pretty good. They are 5-7 on the road. That's what kind of grounds them too. And they have benefited from a weaker schedule. So, you know, the big news for the Magic, they're 11-2 at home. And I expect this team to, you know, for the duration of this season to be very competitive to make that sixth spot. And knowing that Cleveland will make a run, it could be quite competitive. Knowing the Knicks and the Heat are not perfect teams and have playoff goals in mind, not just regular season ones, the Magic could even be higher than six. But I think the Magic will fight for the sixth spot, and we'll see what happens. But they've been great, and they are my number eight seed. Got to give them mad respect. Seventh on the power rankings. And maybe for some this will be a little bit low, but the Philadelphia 76ers. Talk about fast starts. They were like a Concorde shooting out from the runway. Yes, the Concorde plane, which I don't even think fly anymore, which may say something and be very useful as a metaphor come the conference finals for the Philadelphia 76ers. But besides the point, besides that fact, they have won six in a row. They've been very good. They're 8-2 in their last 10. There's some other good teams above them, trust me. And they will be good. Nick Nurse, you know, when he has, you know, the upper echelon, when he has an elite team, or just sub-elite team, he does very well with them, especially in the regular season. And that Philadelphia 76ers team is playing well. Kelly Oubre is back. I can't remember if we talked about Kelly Oubre earlier in the season, but it is good to see him back healthy. I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he's played, but he has been practicing with the team. I will double check this. I don't watch Sixers games. I think some of you know why. But, you know, the last two wins, I said they won six in a row, they beat up on some bad teams. Charlotte, yes, the Raptors did lose to them. But Charlotte, they beat by 50. So, no, you're not going to get much respect in the power ranks for that. And the game before that, they beat the Pistons by like 40. So that's not going to impact the power rankings too much. Kelly Oubre is playing again. He played 21 minutes against the Charlotte Hornets. He had 12 points, 4 rebounds. So after getting hit by a car in a hit-and-run situation, I don't know for sure if they found the driver who hit him. My guess is that person probably was drinking. Could be wrong, but that's my guess. But the Sixers, before these two very easy wins against the Pistons and the Hornets, had been a little shaky. Certainly getting Kelly Oubre back will help them. I think they're a player away, honestly, from being part of the top four conversation. I don't know how they'll get that player, although they do have some redundancies in the lineup and on the bench with Marcus Morris, with Batum and Covington, all very similar players. Not to say that you couldn't play two of them to close games, but my guess is one or two of them will get traded, and maybe somebody else on the Sixers bench, so that they can get one more player. Because if they have seven really quality players, that's all they'll need for a deep playoff run. And certainly Nick Nurse won't play necessarily 8 or 9. He might, depending on the game. But you talk about a team who has Joel Embiid, MVP of the league last year, top three player in the league. Maxey, who has been outstanding. If he's not the most improved player, they will give him an All-NBA award the way he's played, and if he continues to play at that high level. But they also have Tobias Harris, who's good. Melton has been strong. You know, so if you can add to one of those bench guys like a Kelly Oubre. If you can get rid of two of the guys I had mentioned before, keep one. Probably Covington's the best of the three of them. Batum and Morris probably makes sense for them to get shipped somewhere else. And they can be effective somewhere else. But I'd keep Covington if I was the Sixers. But this is a team that's number seven in the power rankings right now. And I think that they could easily be, as I said, in that top four conversation. I think they sit third in the East currently. And they are a strong team. They are a strong team. So kudos to the Sixers. Hopefully they're healthy all season. We want to see the best of everybody on that team and the best in the league. So, yeah, number seven. Philadelphia 76ers. Number six, a team who, to be quite honest, has surprised me. I don't know if they'll be able to sustain what they've done so far to start the season. I've been most impressed with their away record, 9-4. I have been impressed by some of the individuals on their team. I have caught a few of their games in the fourth quarter. Recently, they beat the Trailblazers. That's not going to impact them too much. They did get beat at home to the Timberwolves, but they beat the Lakers the other night in Dallas on their home court. Yes, the Dallas Mavericks is my number six, and I've been impressed by them. They've been able to play pretty solid basketball, and it's more than just on the offensive end, although they have a very good offense as well. When Kyrie is healthy, when Luka is healthy, they just have so many problems to hand to other teams. So for me, the Dallas Mavericks, the way they've played basketball so far to start the season, they are my number six. Now, you could swap, you know, the Sixers for them, but because I think Philly's had an easier schedule the last 5-10 games, I'm going to give it to the Mavs in this one. Very close, though. Very close. At number five, my number five team in the power rankings, the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets. They had Jamal Murray out of the lineup. He is back in the lineup. This is a team that at any time can play really good basketball. Where I take issue, where I knock them back to five, no, number one, they're in fourth in the Western Conference. So it's not like they've been incredibly impressive at all. But where I struggle with this team so far in the power rankings, we're not in the playoffs, this is regular season power rankings. It changes from month to month, week to week. 7-8 on the road. And that to me is a team that just isn't as focused. They're not looking to push hard. They are 10-2 at home, and that's where they want to take care of business. They are second, tied for second with the Lakers with that record. But they trail the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'll tell you why the Denver Nuggets are number five instead of four, because one of the losses they had at home was very recent. And to me, they should have won that game. They were up 9 with about 5 minutes to go. They were up 5 with about a minute to go, and they couldn't execute. Now, when I watch Jamal Murray, who has just come off a groin injury, just come back from a groin injury, he doesn't look as shifty, as smooth, as explosive as I'm used to seeing him, especially on that jump shot, especially when he has the ball and he's trying to create space for himself. He did not look as sharp. That's okay. I don't think they're losing sleep over the loss. I don't think they're losing sleep having a 17-10 record and being number four. I think they'll probably want to get into the two seed, and there's no reason why they can't get there. If the Timberwolves want to go all out in the regular season and they're hot and they stay hot and they're number one in the West, I don't think that will bother the Nuggets in any way. But the Denver Nuggets are five because number four, who was going to be my number five, but leaped the Nuggets, is the OKC Thunder. Now, we knew they would be good this year. We were betting that they would be a 5 or 6 seed this year. They are the number 2 seed in the Western Conference because Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is absolutely incredible. He is playing like a top 10 player, and we will get to a player power ranking probably in a couple weeks at Christmas. Maybe I'll have a cup of eggnog with some rum in it to get to that player power ranking. But this guy is incredible. I watched the whole second half of the Nuggets Thunder game. He was special again. I saw him in the summer with Canada. I've seen him a number of times throughout the last couple seasons. He leads that team with confidence, with just a mindfulness, a peace, an ease on how he plays the game. He's had some troubles in his personal life because a real estate agent did him wrong and his family wrong. And he's still cooking guys with relative ease. This is a top 10 player. And whatever we thought and hoped Ja Morant would be as a kind of a complete player, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has taken that spot. And instead of Ja Morant being talked about as maybe a top 7, top 6 guy in the league this year, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And who knows, if the Thunder continue to play like this, we might be talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as an MVP, a top MVP candidate. There's no reason why he couldn't be. And if he is, it would be the 6th straight season, something like that, where there's been a non-American player getting MVP. So we'll keep that in mind going forward. But yes, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and this Thunder team are 16-8. They are 8-4 at home and on the road. Very impressive for a young team. They have made a considerable leap. I think it's possible they'll be more like a 3 or 4 seed. I think maybe even a 4 seed going into the playoffs. Maybe they get the Lakers, which will be a tough opening matchup for them, especially just with the experience of LeBron James. And the size and athleticism of AD would really mess up Chet. But Chet has also played well. I thought he played a great game against Joker. He had a massive block on Aaron Gordon, who, in my opinion, is a 2-time dunk champ. One of the greatest dunkers that the dunk-off has seen. But the Thunder, folks, the Oklahoma City Thunder are my 4 seed, and they are playing fantastic. I look forward to seeing more games. They were my league pass team this year. Probably wasn't a hard pick, but I made that pick this year. Again, the Magic were my number 2, and both of those teams are looking great, and they're fun to watch. And they've got great depth as well as great coaching. And not enough is talked about in respect to the coaching and the bench of OKC. So mad respect to them. My number 3 team is a team that started very similarly to the Clippers, who had just had a big trade before the season started, but have definitely turned things around. The Milwaukee Bucks are my number 3 seed. They're 19-7. They have the league's 3rd best record. They have won their last 4. They are 8-2 in their last 10. They are the 2nd best record, I believe, in the league for home. They've played a lot of home games, which we'll see as the season goes on how that will change, but they're 14-2 at home. They've only played 10 road games. Now, you know how much I talk about the schedule and how it impacts the Raptors. The Raptors are 3-8 on the road. Forget about their record. They played 11 games. on the road. They've played 14 games at home. The Bucks have played a couple more games than them. But how do they get 16 games at home? That's crazy. That's a lot of games. 16 to 10. Something's up there. But regardless, the Bucks are playing really well. They've figured out a number of things. I think there's still flaws in their game that probably will catch up to them come playoff time unless they make a move. I think the Sixers and the Bucks are a player away still. The Sixers probably need a really quality two-way guy. And I'll have to think about who that might be, who might be available. I'm sure a guy like OG Anunoby, Coach Nurse would love to have him back in his lineup. He would be really good for the Sixers. But for the Bucks, I think they're probably looking for an OG character too. And I think they want a guy who can more spread the floor for Dame and Giannis, especially in clutch time. Obviously, Dame can spread the floor on his own. Logo Lillard is his nickname for a reason. But yeah, they've played really good basketball. This is a team that was like 6-5 to start the season. The fact that they're 14-2 at home, they are 13-2 overall. They did lose to the Pacers, which they were not happy about in the in-season tournament, and the Pacers let them hear about it. But then the Bucks handled them quite easily in the rematch in the regular season. But I do think the Bucks still have some gaps that they're going to have to fill. And I don't know where that's going to come from, if Connaughton's going to figure it out, if Beauchamp's their second-year guy is going to be, able to make some good tweaks, in-season tweaks, to elevate his game and to help his team more. Certainly with age is going to come possible injuries, so they're going to have to manage all the, all the whole season, the schedule that comes. So yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks will be a team that will be challenging for the title. But again, I think they still have a player that they need to find. Jay Crowder is not the answer. And I don't think Malik Beasley is, although Malik Beasley can shoot the ball very well, but they need some athleticism. Again, like I said, OG Anunoby seems like the right pick for the Bucks or the Sixers. Again, I don't want to get rid of him, but if he goes somewhere, I can see one of those two teams, whoever has the best package to send our way. I can see one of those two teams getting him or a guy like him. If I'm the Raptors, I do not let him go. I do not let him go to either one of those teams, not because they are rivals, not just because they have former Raptors coaches coaching those teams, but because, they are in the same conference, and I don't want to have to play those two teams with OG on them for 3 or 4 games every season. That would be a lot to have to deal with. I mean, I don't know what OG is like covering Scotty Barnes, but I bet you he does a pretty good job. but regardless, I digress on an OG possible trade because I really don't want to get into that. But the Milwaukee Bucks have played very well. We can see the talent. They are going to be one of those top teams, as we said before the season, and they've settled in to this roster. And Adrian Griffin, rookie coach, he's settled in to his position as well. Giannis has now, into that mid-season form, and I think that will continue for quite a while. But, Bucks are strong, and they should be in the top three, and they are in the top three in this power rankings. Number two. Another surprising team, maybe not as surprising as the Orlando Magic, but right up there. I would say them and the Thunder are kind of equally as surprising, not because we didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I think a lot of people thought they would. They're, you know, Zach Lowe and David Thorpe both that said that they felt the Wolves analytically and just from the top of their roster would be real strong contenders to get home court advantage in the playoffs. And certainly they have played excellent basketball, top three defense. Their offense has been strong. Not, you know, a top five team, but they've been strong. And the Wolves currently have the second best record in the NBA, best in the West by three games. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've also played really good on the road, 8-4. And when you match that to the Western Conference's best home record, you are going to be considered in the power rankings in that top group. And that's where they are. They, like I said before, they did just beat Dallas. That's a good win for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Recently, they beat the Pacers, who, you know, when you're the best defense and the Pacers have a miserable defense, I think you're going to get some easy buckets. They did lose to the Pelicans, which I think is a tricky matchup for them. They have had some easy games. You know, they beat the Jazz. They beat the Spurs and Hornets. So, there's some inflation to their record. But before that, they beat the Thunder. So that's a good win. And they have beat the Sixers, the Knicks. So they've had some quality wins. So the Wolves are number two. And the reason why they are not number one is because the most talented team in the league, and it's hard for me to say all this, although my man Brandon probably loves it, is the team who has the best home record, 14-0. The team who has probably the best starting lineup in the league, has gone through some injuries and still are playing good basketball. They've won 5 in a row. They reminded the Magic that they do not have the power to turn them in to some sort of pumpkin or mouse. The Celtics are too strong for pretenders. They are not just a contender. They are the favorite. It is the Boston Celtics, number one in the power ranking. They have a 20-5 record, best in the league. And they just are full of stars. They're extremely well coached. And this team has been around for a while. I mentioned a couple weeks back how good the Knicks are because of continuity. Having RJ Barrett, Jalen Brunson, teammates from Villanova of Jalen Brunson's coming to this team, like Josh Hart late last season, and DiVincenzo, who joined them over the offseason. They are looking really good. And the Celtics are, because they have that same kind of continuity and in some respects more continuity. You know, their coach before Ime Udoka was Brad Stevens. He's their general manager. He's still in the room. Even Joe Mazzulla, who's only a second-year head coach, was the assistant coach for a couple years. So this team is well put together. They, again, in clutch times, have had some question marks around some of their play. And I think those question marks will come up in a 7-game series, especially against teams like the Bucks, the Sixers, and then whoever the Western Conference might put at them if they get to the finals. But, you know, Jason Tatum is an MVP candidate. Him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are right there with Joel Embiid. And then you've got Jrue Holiday. What a steal Jrue Holiday was. It's incredible. And almost like highway robbery that they were able to get him. Like, trading Jrue Holiday for Dame Lillard makes sense for the Milwaukee Bucks, who are wanting to win a title, because that was something that they did not have last year. And certainly Chris Middleton is not the same guy who he was back in 2021, 3 seasons ago. But for the Boston Celtics to then trade for him when he went to Portland, gosh, that's just not fair, man. Then you got Derek White, who's playing really good, and they've done a good job with their bench. You know, Sam Hauser, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. He's had a really good start to his season. Peyton Pritchard, a bit shaky, but Al Horford's coming off that bench. He's still playing really well. He doesn't need to play 30 minutes a night. And then you've got Cornette, who plays solid, coming off their bench. There is some questions specifically around their depth, and I think, again, the playoffs will expose or magnify those questions at the very least. But for right now, they arguably have the best starting lineup in basketball. They have arguably the best – I don't even know if it's an argument, to be honest, but arguably the best backcourt, defensive backcourt in the league. And when you've got that plus a top five player in Jason Tatum, you are going to be near the top. And with their record and what they've done at home, complete dominance, 14-0, this is the number one team in the power rankings for me. And we will see how they continue. From a scheduling standpoint, as I said, they beat the Magic, knocked them off both games, very easy for them. And then before that, they played the Cavs twice. Very interesting that they got Cavs twice and then the Magic twice. But I guess the Raptors had the Hawks twice and the Knicks twice. And then speaking of the Knicks, they had the Knicks. So they've won five in a row against pretty solid Eastern Conference teams. Certainly not contenders for the conference, but solid teams. Knicks, Cavs, Magic. To go 5-0 against those teams is pretty good. All those games are at home, so that makes it a little easier. Again, scheduling is very – it's always curious to me. And really, the only bump in the road in their last 10 games, they've won 8 of the last 9, was the in-season tournament game against the Pacers, where they kind of folded in the last 5 minutes and couldn't score, which, again, brings up questions. But they didn't have Porzingis that night. So that's part of the problem. That extra guy, one of the guys they went out and got that they thought would just make them that much more difficult, he wasn't there for that game in Indiana for the in-season tournament quarterfinal. So can't put too much on that game, but again, it is keeps that question hanging around, which is good for us on podcasts to be able to talk about. But that is my power ranking for December 18th, I will come back, as I said, early in the new year, maybe on January 8th. It's a Monday. And probably won't talk too much about the holidays, but that will probably be when I target the next power ranking. I've gone quite a bit of time, as is easy to do when I'm talking about the NBA. So I'll have to do a Raptors-specific pod to talk about all the concerns there. But yeah, that's top 10. And as I said, look out for the Clippers on the next one. And it'll be interesting to see what happens between, the league's top four teams. Will the Sixers make their way back into that top four? Will the Timberwolves be able to hold their spot? But for now, Celtics 1, Timberwolves 2, and everybody else is chasing them. All right, y'all. Be well. Peace in the Middle East. I don't do dreaming, boy. I'm on your function. I'm ours.